Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, folks. You're all very welcome back to the Talk from the Terrace on Celtic Fanzine TV and also on audio on the Celtic Soul podcast. If you're viewing it for the first time or listening in, please hit the subscribe button, the follow button, leave a comment and hit the alarm button so you never miss an episode on the YouTube channel. And we're also available across all the podcast platforms, Acast, Apple, Spotify, or whatever your preferred platform is. But please give us a like, a follow, a comment, or whatever you can do. And we'd really appreciate that. Today I'm joined again by a good old friend, and I'm sure he's as happy as me today. Back to Celtic Park last night we were. Matt McGlone from The Alternative View, editor of The Alternative View, author, and also producer of some half-decent T-shirts. Matt, you're very welcome back to Talk From The Terrace. How are you?
Top of the world. It's amazing how a Celtic victory can lift you. It has over the years, and it continues to do so, even in my older, greyer age. But I just felt that when it was announced that fans were back into football last week, there was a real resurgence. You could see people couldn't wait for last night to come. And it was just brilliant. Everything was made for last night. You know, the new guys, two of the new guys starting, the third one coming on. And I think before the break, I think we had all sort of thought of we can keep in touch, because when I say keep in touch, only because we were very short on players, you know, we knew we had to get new players in. And we felt if we could keep in touch up until New Year, then there was a real belief, a total belief in Celtic fans' minds, that with the confidence that Ange has brought into the club and the feel-good factor, and we all feel as one again, that if we got to the New Year period, that once we started, we'd really be rocking. And it came true last night. And, I mean, right now, we can't wait for the next game to start.
Yeah, there was a kind of a lovely buzz, Matt, in the airport yesterday with different supporters' clubs and... You know, we were having a couple of points before the... I actually nearly missed the flight because we were last on the plane, but we got on, you're walking down the plane and, you know, you have the Nave Park boys from Dublin, boys from Tipperary, Limerick, Cork, Galway, Leitrim, like almost every county from, I suppose, Dublin down, because the northern clubs travel on the boat, and they were over in big numbers as well. I bumped into a lot of the Belfast boys, but the whole day was just, you know, it was like it was our Christmas. Because Christmas was so quiet, especially for us in Ireland, because we've got an 8 o'clock curfew if you're going out for points. So, you know, yourself, and night doesn't end at 8 o'clock. So this was, we were, all our thoughts were trained on, you know, the restrictions being lifted, fans being back in the stadiums. And we don't have, now we had to get an antigen test, you know, in December, and that's scrapped now as well. So that's one less hassle. And just to get back, Matt, last night, even the walk up to Celtic Park, you know, bumping into old faces, and everybody was, I had that kind of, I had like a big European night feel, you know, and you don't get that on a Sunday, you know, at lunchtime or even 3 o'clock on the Saturday. Just, there's something special about Celtic Park under the lights.
Yeah, no, it was marvellous. And talking about an 8 o'clock drinking curfew in Ireland, I heard your curfew was 8 o'clock this morning in Scotland.
Well, I have to say,
somebody told me. No, it was just great, and thoroughly enjoyed it last night. Celtic's football was scintillating, to be honest with you. The way they were moving the ball about, and you know, they were moving in packs. Celtic seemed to move up the park in three and fours, and there's always a player available if something goes wrong and they lose the ball. And, you know, chatting after the game, saying to my son, you know, you think that, you know, Hatate and Maeda and Isiguchi, you would think that they had been there for months. You know, people saying, well, they don't even seem to be settling, and they seem to be just going on the park and running the show. And, you know, I mean, Hatate was just amazing in midfield. Every ball that was going through him, nothing fazed him. He didn't look overawed. The occasion didn't look too big for him. He just looked like, this is my pitch. I'm going on here. I'm so proud to wear this jersey. I'm really just going to do it. And he did. And that all must be down to Ange, I'm sure, at Lennox Town. He's had these guys in for maybe less than 2 weeks. And they must be doing exactly what he's telling them in training. They're short passing, moving, no lumping up the park, no big balls, no giving the ball away. We're moving and controlling the game. And I think Hibs looked exhausted by half time, trying to just keep up with Celtic.
Yeah, Matt, the first half was, as you say, scintillating. It was great to watch. And as well as that, like, the new boys, you know, all the speculation before the game was, you know, who'll start, who won't start, you know, who's going to have to make way. And the two of them that we thought that would start did is Hatate and Maeda. But, like, they must have been impressed when they come out to, you know, you'll never walk alone. And I didn't even last night, I didn't feel it until I actually watched it back today on the TV, and I went, whoa, that gave me goosebumps. Mm-hmm. And they must have thought, yeah, I think we might have made the right move coming here, because this is... If this is what it's like every week, it's great. And then, Hibs, you know, Hibs come out of the blocks, bang, almost score, and you're going, you know, you're just taking your seat, and then you're out of your seat. Maeda, it must be his first touch, was it?
I know. It was a wonderfully worked goal. I mean, we actually robbed one of their players of the ball down the right hand side. Rogic puts the ball over, and you can watch that goal from Maeda as many times as you want. He just knows exactly where he's going to put it, and he doesn't even take a second to look. The ball comes, hits it first time, doesn't even look down, look up. He knows exactly what he's doing, and the keeper has got no chance because of the speed he hit the ball. You know, not an enormously hard shot, but just by movement of thought and body, the way he hits it, it was in the back of the net before the keeper even knew about it. It was, Celtic were just great. And okay, you know, the second half, no more goals, but I mean, we missed a few chances, but there was never a feeling that, you know, if Hibs scored, we're going to be under pressure. You know, I think Celtic can up their game when they have to. And we can all shout for more goals. We all want more goals, obviously. But, you know, 2-0 was good. And Celtic just controlled the second half. And as I say, can't wait to the next game.
Yeah, the second half was probably... we were... You know, let's be honest, we wanted more goals, but they were very comfortable. The second half, substitutions, Matt, the bench. How joyous was it when the team was announced that the first thing you were looking at was see if the Japanese boys were in? You know, all excited about seeing them making their debuts. But you looked at I looked at the bench then, and they went to me, mate, and says, look how strong that bench is, you know. Like, when you think back to the night we left Paisley, and we're scratching our head, but you know how threadbare the squad was, and then even against St. Johnson. And then you get all the big boys back, and Joe Hart last night, like he probably won't have an easier game. Mm-hmm. And going for seven.
I know. Yeah, he came out and played the ball at one point. You remember that one? now you're talking about St. Mirren there. I was at that game just before Christmas, and you know, comparing it to last night, you're talking about the excitement, the build up, the feel good factor of that game coming. And in the stadium, you just knew it was going to happen. Throw it back to the game at St Mirren. And it's just one of those nights, nothing went right. Celtic get bogged down. The devoid of ideas. You could obviously tell the team needed freshened up. That night, you could tell it wasn't going to happen. Last night, you knew it was going to happen. And I think it's just the importance of the event. The Celtic players know exactly what it's all about. They know what they're chasing here. And, I'm pretty strong that we'll get this league.
Yeah, look, confidence. Before Christmas, your mate said, coming home, won the games, he says, look, I don't think we're going to do it this year. He says, I want us to do it. I hope we do it. But he said, I just don't think so. And I said to him last night, well, he's a bit more assured. And he says, yeah, he said, like, we now have a team. Like, Kyogo was missing last night, but he wasn't missed. That's before Christmas.
Jota as well.
You know, you're pulling your hair out if you know, Kyogo. Jota's back, right? What a welcome he got back on the pitch, you know. You feel sorry for some of the other players, like, because he just... I think after Ange and Kyogo, everyone's in love with him, you know. There's a lot of man love going on for Jota.
There is. There's... Probably last night, because the decibel welcoming for the substitutes went like that. I'm not going to mention. I don't want, like, picking on players.
It would be unfair, man.
It would be unfair, yeah, because they're all wearing the jerseys and they're all trying their best. Brilliant. Everything last night happened, and as you say, I was sitting watching the game. I said to my son, "You know, we're playing here without Kyogo and Jota, and this is great." You know, obviously they'll get into the team, but you're thinking, where do they fit in here? And that worry of pre-Christmas there, when we didn't have a great pool of players, when Jota was out and Kyogo was out, and then he was back in, then he got injured again. You were sort of, as you said there, depending on these one or two guys. Now we seem to have a plethora of players sitting on the bench ready to come on.
Yeah, and it's incredible as well. It's incredible to look at the team now and look at the transformation. Like, there's very few players left from last year. Mm-hmm. You know, very few.
Very few, but there's a few in the background who are not going to get a game. You know, but we'd really have to shift players out. I have to say, I know Boyle has been linked with Celtic, and as far as I'm aware, there hasn't been any connection made with him. But he's a very strong runner, and he's a speedy player. He would be an asset for us. I know people are saying, well, at 3 million, he's 29, I think he is. But, you know, this league is very important. You know, this league is worth an awful lot of money, and I wouldn't be thinking Celtic should be worried too much about how much they're spending if they can get the big prize at the end, getting into the Champions League.
Yeah.
But Boyle is one of these players, he's quick off the mark, and I think he'd fit right into our team.
Yeah, no, there was loads of talk of him going over to Saudi Arabia or over that way for, you know, life changing money for him. But when I seen him last night, I went, you know, maybe there's something else in the cards here, because surely if they were going to make so much money on him, they wouldn't be risking him in a game. You know?
Yeah. Well, from his point of view, you know, if he wants to move, then the cameras are on. And if he wants to move to Celtic, then obviously I'm just standing watching him. But I felt his pace and his slick movement was and could be the type of player that we could be looking for up front. We're going to have to shift somebody out, obviously. But we'll just, my faith is in Ange. You know, just whatever Ange thinks has got to be done, go with it, because he's guided us this far and he's been backed, and hopefully he might be backed a bit more. But, you know, Ange knows what he's on the training ground. People are saying, well, young Henderson, should he or shouldn't he have been let go? Well, I mean, we're not at training. You know, we don't see what happens at training, and, you know, we put our trust in the manager. He's got us this far.
That kid wouldn't have made the bench last night, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's it. You know, correct. You know, he wouldn't have been on the bench. When you look at the player on his own, you think he's not a bad player. But would he get into Celtic's team just now? No, as you say, struggling to get on the bench.
No,
the manager knows when he's on at training. You know, we can. We're all great managers, you know, sitting in front of screens. But you know, what actually goes on day to day in training is the manager's choice there.
Yeah, like that signing of the Japanese players in so early in the window as well. You know, this was, and he said in one of the press conferences that he was working on the deals from the day the summer window closed. So, you know, that just gives you so much confidence. But like, I've been critical of our board, but if they backed them like this, you know, and like, let's face it, these players wouldn't be here without Ange. You know, we since Nakamura, we haven't really dipped into that market. And we may have looked, but we certainly didn't bring anyone in. And now you have a man who is looking. And at another press conference, Matt, he mentioned that he was interested in players in Iran, Australia, and Japan. You know, like Neil Lennon wouldn't have been looking that way. Brendan Rodgers wouldn't have been looking that way. So now we have someone with a fresh kind of approach. And like, none of the Japanese players looked out of touch. We didn't get to see much of Gucci. But Hatate, and they're talking like we paid $1 million for him.
You know, so stupid.
Like it's, you know,
you feel a bit guilty, don't you? Give him more money.
Apparently, the three players is $5 million or something. Like, you know,
it's wonderful. And after the start Kyogi made, I think we most of us upped our mind as to these guys were on the same standard. Now, that's a lot of pressure to put on players to expect them to come in, because there was no pressure on Kyogi because we knew absolutely nothing about him. But when we saw how he played, and now we see how the other three are playing, we start thinking they're pretty much up there as well. Early days, obviously. But, you know, what we saw last night was great. Yeah. And you say Ange knows that market inside out. And he has been backed to date. And he seems to be quite happy with his backroom team that were there. I know a lot of the backroom staff have been getting it tight from a lot of people, but again, you have to trust the manager. He's the guy who works with them, and if he's happy with them, then fair enough. It's quite amazing when you think about it. All, you know, across the road, you know, Gio came in with his, you know, his army of backroom team, and, you know, Eddie Howe didn't want to come because he couldn't get his army together. Ange came in on his own, didn't know a soul, looked at the guys there and sort of thought, well, I'm going to try and work with these people. I mean, it is quite amazing what he's achieved, you know, coming in on his own and got everybody galvanised. I mean, the feel-good factor around Celtic Park just now is at an absolute premium. It's fantastic. You can imagine what it must be like in the dressing room and in the training grounds when they see all the hard work they're doing in the training ground coming off on the pitch like last night. The way Celtic play, it's a system. They must be in there at 9 o'clock in the morning at Lennox Town to whenever they leave, and they're working this way, that way, this is the way you do it, this way, that way, and they don't deviate from it. And that's why I think the three players that came in last night looked so comfortable, because they've been playing like that for weeks and weeks in training, and it's great to see.
Yeah, Matt, I seen a tweet from a girl, young girl yesterday. Well, when I say young, maybe in her 20s or 30s, and she says, I can't wait to see the big sexy tonight. And it was a picture of Ange, like, you know, like, he just seems to have, like, everybody seems to, you know, be on the Ange train. Everyone is buzzing about this man. And as you say, he came in with nobody. Like, I've just a picture of him just, you know, rocking up to Lennox Town with his toothbrush and going, right, this is me. Let's go and play some football, like, you know, put them two jumpers down there, they'll do us goalposts. And you know, just like, you know, people are bumping into him down the shop getting a pint of milk, like.
No, he's everybody that bumps into him, they look like it's Christmas Day, but they've just met the Messiah. And Ange looks really happy to meet fans. And, you know, you and I have been brought up with this. He hasn't. He's seen Celtic from afar, and he said he'd picture a Kendall Gleish in his wall, and he looked out for Scottish results, etc. But he's only come in and been totally immersed into what we are into from the outside. And, you know, he's really taken it on. And, you know, if I was to leave tomorrow, I'd be absolutely distraught, to tell you the truth. I don't know if that's man love, but whatever it is.
There'll be a day of mourning.
I'll tell you what, Celtic didn't miss a trick with those jumpers. He took off the tracking and he put on just a big dark jumper. You know, 2 minutes later, Celtic have got the badge on it. Everybody's posting at Christmas time. Oh, got an Ange jumper at Christmas. People from 15 to 75 have got an Ange jumper for Christmas.
There was ultras throwing away the Stone Island gear and the Bowery caps and putting on Ange jumpers.
That's right. Crewnecks are back in again.
Look, if a man can bring a jumpers like that back into fashion and make them trendy again, there's no end to this man's talent.
he's a fashion guru as well as a Celtic leader. That's brilliant. I've got to say, I don't have an Ange jumper. I'm very disappointed my children at Christmas didn't get me one.
I have to raid my own dad's wardrobe to see if one fits me.
Just get any old dark coloured jumper in there. They sort of look dark blue or black. Just get a Celtic badge on it and you're an Ange man.
Yeah, the big kids, going to fancy dresses, dressed as Ange.
That's right.
But Matt, the one thing I noticed last night about the visit, it's great. Look, great to have away fans in the ground as well. Great to have fans back from, because you know it adds to something when you get away fans. But the singing last night, cheerio to 10 in a row. Like now, I was thinking, like, has that just come up something better than that?
Well. Well, they're from Edinburgh, you know. So, sorry, everybody from Edinburgh. There's a lot of good people from Edinburgh, let me tell you.
That was
a flippant remark. you'd think they would come up with something better than that, you know, 10 in a row. I mean, that actually doesn't hurt us anymore, does it?
speak to yourself.
you know, it actually hurts at the time, but, you know, if somebody sings it to you, now it's just like, well, you're kind of zero effect in me because, you know, I've suffered it, pal. It's done. It's gone. It's gone for me now, you know. I'm not going to lose any more sleep over it.
And we're 2-0 and we're playing yourself the park.
Say that again?
We're 2-0 up and we're playing yourself off the park. So, you know, try a bit
harder. And they're still singing cheerio 10 in a row.
Try harder. Now, listen, I know, Matt, right, because we've all got stories about 10 in a row, but... You've a good one, I know, a Rangers player. So let's go back into the alternative view vaults and get a story because we had a great laugh the last time you were on about the European antics.
The Russians and the KGB. Yeah, I'm just throwing myself back 20 odd years here. I remember the season 97-98, Rangers were going for 10 in a row and we had been really struggling. You know, you had to take over back in 94 and it was back into Celtic Park and everything was changed. Change was still happening in the 90s with the Celtic fan and we desperately had to stop them doing 10 in a row. Remember at Ibrox, Richard Gough scored a header at the Celtic end and he ran away. And he's going like that to the governing stand, like 10. A lot of people remember that. Anyway, I try not to remember it, but by a quirk of fate, this is quite strange. I met two people that day, and he was one of them. I was doing a Celtic roadshow down in South London, and I had the League Championship trophy with me that year, and Celtic said, no matter where you go, out of the hotel or go for a coffee or whatever, you have to take the trophy with you. Don't leave it anywhere whatsoever. So I think we got down there about 12:30, 1 o'clock. I'm thinking, the roadshow doesn't start till 8 o'clock. And we're sitting about in the hotel with this trophy. Can't go anywhere. So I actually phoned up Crystal Palace and Wimbledon were playing their home games at Crystal Palace, Selhurst Park, because Plough Lane had been closed down. And I remember walking in, I phoned him up and I just said hi, told my name from Celtic, I've got the League Championship trophy here. Any chance you could come in and get corporate facilities and you could look after the cup for us while we drink your drink and watch the game? And they said, yeah, okay.
Nothing like a good hard neck.
And I've got to say, I was even surprised at that. But, you know, it's a thing in life, if you don't ask, you don't get. And as I walked in the door at Selhurst Park, I wasn't even thinking about Richard Gough, but to the right-hand side of the front door was a big sort of glass wall, and inside there was the players who weren't playing that day. And I think it was Wimbledon who were playing Nottingham Forest. And I spotted Richard Gough, and I've just suddenly came to me that I've got the league championship trophy and he's given it that. And obviously we have got the trophy. So I chat to Window. He's like, he looked like a ghost. He turned round and I thought, I'm sure he got a mouth. And anyway, he came round. And by this time, I'm in a total high. I'm just like, gaga, just loving it. Got him on toast right here in front of me. Got a league championship trophy. I remember you going like that. And he came round. I've got to say, he took it well. He said, where the fuck did you get that? And I explained to him. And he said to me, I've got to tell you, he said, when I was doing that, I wasn't doing 10. I was saying, lift the stadium, lift the roar, whatever. And by that time, you could have told me anything. I'm just in the mood not even listen to him. I said, yeah, very good. So you did. Yeah, very good. And he's going, no, honestly, I did. I'm going, yeah, very good. So you did. I'm just like totally carried away. I'm just standing there holding it like a baby in front of me.
Oh, brilliant.
And what a great moment that was. But I've got to say, he was brand new. He took it well. And I'm not sure even to this day if I believe him, if he said, you know, lift the roar, if that's what he was meaning, you know, lift the atmosphere. So anyway, further on, went into the players' lounge, into the corporate lounge, and the guy said, do you want to take it onto the pitch at half-time? And I said, nah, don't fancy, you know, a couple of guys to Glasgow, the Crystal Palace, you know, people don't know, or Nottingham Forest and Wimbledon it was. So anyway, we went out at half-time, we held the cup up, and it's, you know, I'm muted. Yeah, who are they? So back into the lounge and put the trophy down this table they had put out. I have to say, Crystal Palace were fantastic. They really looked after us. You know, a couple of guys that just on the phone, you know, says, can we get in and drink your drink and eat your meal and can you look after the cup for us? And the film Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels had hadn't been out long, Guy Ritchie film. And there was a guy in it called Hatchet Harry. And his name in real life is P.H. Moriarty. And he's quite a fearsome figure. I'd seen him he'd been in Long Good Friday, a really great gangster British film from sort of 70s, 80s. He played a guy called Razor. He was Bob Hoskins' sidekick. So he'd always played these kind of evil parts, and he had sort of one eye. And he walked over. This is my best London accent I'm doing here. And he goes, excuse me, mate, is that a real thing? And I says, yeah, it is, yeah. And I get chatting away to him. And we swap numbers. And to this day, we speak to each other on the phone once a month. And I actually had him up at Celtic Park. I came back and asked Celtic at the time if they could, you know, give him some decent facilities for the day. And he came up and he just loved it. His father was from Ireland and he had acted in various parts. He was in the Jimmy Boyle film. Can't remember the name of it again. What was it? Slipped my mind. He was in that and he'd been up here quite a lot. He's playing golf. He played golf with Tommy Gemmell at one point. He says up in Aberdeen. And he really knew a lot about Celtic. So I've been sending him T-shirts. He's been getting pictures taken in them and sending them back up. So he looks a bit like Dermot Desmond with the sort of moustache and the hair swept back. And the day Celtic gave him corporate facilities, I was walking in the front door with him. And a wee guy ran up to me and says, Mr. Dermot, could you sign my programme, please? and he just goes like that. Yeah, sure. And I said to him, what did you write on that? He said, yeah, you fucking business. But he's an absolute great guy. He's in his 80s now. Oh. And yeah, P.H. Moriarty. If nobody knows him, Google him. He's a great guy. And if you YouTube Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, the cabs scene, they're playing cabs. He's absolutely brilliant in that. That was a day down there doing a roadshow in South London that night. And those two events came out of Selhurst Park, Goff and Meeting, and still a great friend to this day, P.H. Moriarty.
Yeah, Matt, always entertaining on these podcasts with your stories.
I was swearing there, but that happened at the time. So
look, you know, that these things get said in the heat of the moment, and I don't think any of our listeners or viewers will be too worried. Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me. I hope you'll join us again for these updates. I always get some sense out of you and some perspective on things, and like me, you've got a smile on your face. And just when we landed on the plane, when we come back the following morning from the Hibs game, I just want to give a shout out to all the boys who travelled from, like, I'm only a half an hour, 40 minutes away from the airport, and we were just saying it when we were coming down the road in the car, like, we're home for breakfast, and these lads had to drive to Cork, Limerick, Tip, and then over the west to Sligo and Galway and Leitrim. And it just, fair play to all the boys, and I look forward to seeing yous again, and hopefully I'll see a few yous in Alloa, because you can't beat an away day in Alloa on Saturday.
Right. No, we did that one, you know. It's going to be a great sky, that's for sure. Just what you're seeing there, the commitment of the Irish fans is fantastic. I mean, we take it for granted. I take it for granted, I suppose, you know, I can get a train into town, then walk it from the town up to Celtic Park and back, get my steps up, etc. Have a pint on the way. But, I mean, the Celtic fans that come from Ireland, the commitment is unbelievable. Getting ferries, buses, boats, early flights, etc. You see fans all over. I've got a lot of friends in Cork that travel over quite a lot. And, yeah, you know, I remember seeing the Nam Padre. It came over last year, not just last year, but it came over loads of times, probably every week. And they were all pictured outside the Celtic Sports Association offices in London Road. And I remember seeing that picture, and I was talking to you about it earlier, and I was just sort of looking and thinking, all those faces, there was dozens and dozens of them. They're all standing there, they've been up since about 2 in the morning, probably picking up fans on the way, etc. And it's an amazing commitment. And I just hope Celtic as a club sort of appreciate that, you know, that, you know, it's just not local fans. The love for Celtic is all over the place, and none other than Ireland, you know, I mean, where our founder originated from.
Yeah, and as well as that, all the buses from down south of England and up the north of Scotland and that, like, there's huge commitment. I bumped into Joe Cardle from Blackpool. Joe's a Glasgow boy, but he's been living in Blackpool all his life. I think he moved down as a teenager. And I bumped into Joe last night. He's a good character. And, you know, quick chat with him at halftime. And so many great people follow Celtic. And
That's amazing. I talk to Joe on Twitter quite a lot. And as you say, north of Scotland, you know, south of England, north, south, east, west, they all come and see the boys. And there's nothing better than the buzz we're getting right now. We've got to cherish this. This is to be cherished. These moments, I mean, I'm an old guy now, but I remember as a young boy that buzz feeling, going with my dad, walking up to the games. My dad took me to all the games leading up to European Cup, all the home games. And I remember as a young boy walking up London Road and with the big floodlight pylons, and I thought, this is a theatre I'm going to a theatre here. You couldn't wait to get back into school the next day and say, I was at the game last night. It was just that amazing feeling. And that buzz I had when I was less than 10 years of age to now, when I'm an old guy, it's still the exact same buzz. And to keep that throughout your life is, when all the other things are going on, you know, there's so many other distractions in life. To keep that buzz, we've got that buzz right now, and let's hope we all cherish it. I know we do. Fans from afar travelling, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, when we had nothing, we had Celtic, and when we have Celtic, we have everything.
Absolutely. Have you been reading books again?
I don't know where that came from. just popped into my head.
That was pretty good.
Aaron Boyle, watch out. Listen, Matt, as I said, it's been a pleasure. Folks, if you enjoy the podcast and enjoy what we do on the channel, just hit the subscribe, follow, and the alarm button. You'll never miss an episode. And if you want to buy a fanzine, Matt, you can pick up Matt's Alternative View in newsagents, and you can also buy More Than 90 Minutes. We have a new issue out this week. It's out on digital at the moment, and we'll have the print copies in a boot, I'd say tomorrow. If you want to buy a copy, just go online, CelticFanzine.com, visit the shop, and you'll see all the information there. I think that's all. If you want to support us in any way, just visit the shop on the website or subscribe to the fanzines, and that goes for Matt's Alternative View, which I am a subscriber, I have to say. So, Matt, I'll leave the last word to you.
Always believe. Believe in Celtic, believe in Ange, and I think we can do this. Let's go on that roller coaster ride together, and we'll get there.
Hail, hail, folks, and tune in the next time for the next episode with Matt McLaughlin.
See you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.